Mr. I let you.
Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start.
Welcome to the Ewing Barbecue, where we drink and talk about the TV show Dallas. My name is Mary.
I'm Sarah.
Doing a quick shot. You gotta come to me when I'm taking a shot. This is Josh here. I'm doing my bourbon again.
But first, on our Facebook, I just want to mention that we had someone notice something from an episode that none of us noticed originally. Grammy Kim on Facebook noticed that during the season 1, episode 5, episode Barbecue, Sue Ellen's wine switches from white to red while she's drinking.
Saw that.
She's
I didn't
a magician.
Notice it. Yeah.
She is a magician.
She
You didn't know
just,
that about Sue Ellen.
She's a magician or she's stealing people's wine. I'm voting for stealing people's wine.
No, I like magician.
Okay. She's really like magic.
She's a magician.
Yes. Something with all that time at South Fork with nothing because the women don't work.
Right, they have to do goddamn something. She took up magic. All right, today we're going to be talking about season 2, episode 6, Double Wedding, which was written by Arthur Bernard Lewis and Jim Inman, and directed by Paul Stanley, and aired October 21st, 1978.
Pamela.
Yes.
Do you remember me?
Well,
no. We should. I'm your husband.
Boris. Looks legal.
It is legal.
What do you want out of this, Mr. Haynes?
Pamela.
Chair, what are you talking about? What has this got to do with Pamela?
Well, I'm talking about Pamela's lawful husband, Edison Faraday Haynes. Bobby, I'm afraid you're married to a bigamist.
Why didn't you tell me? If you don't have proof of that annulment, then you and I might not be married. And I don't like that.
Guest stars in this episode were Robin Clark as Ed Faraday Haynes. Why are they reusing the name Faraday again? Jeff Faraday?
But they haven't used it yet. So this is the first time they're using it.
Right. Charles Hallahan as Harry Ridlin, and the last appearance of David Wayne as Digger Barnes.
Mm. Really?
Do we know why he stopped being Digger?
I believe he was working on something else.
Okay, but does he ever get up again, or does he die? Because I don't
know. No, he's replaced by David Wayne. Keenan Wynn.
Keenan Wynn.
I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. He's like a beard.
He's the voice of the Winter Warlock in Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Damn.
Winter.
Well,
call me
damn.
Winter.
Let me see if there's any more trivia in here. Josh has the same book as me, but like to look.
I have that book.
They mentioned
but I'm
that there was a reference to an aunt or cousin Rose, but she was never seen on Dallas.
Cousin Rose, Jesus.
Yeah.
A Barnes cousin Rose.
Yes. They could have dug up all these Barneses, but by the end of the series, Cliff was the only, I'm talking about being the only relative left.
I feel like that's a lost opportunity.
Cousin Jimmy apparently never existed.
You're right.
Yeah, like Chuck Cunningham on Happy Days. Aww. The third child. He was Richie's older brother, and he went upstairs, and he never came back.
Right. Like Sandra on the Cosby Show, who just showed up in like season 5 or something, and they're like, there was an older sister the whole time?
Yeah. Or one of Patrick Duffy's kids on Step by Step went upstairs in one of the seasons and never came back.
Which one?
I love this show, I mean.
Brandon.
Oh. I watched like the first couple seasons.
The little one.
Okay.
And it's funny that Sasha Mitchell played Patrick Duffy's nephew on Dallas and on Step by Step.
I know. I used to love that.
And Suzanne Summers plays his wife, and Jenna Lee Harrison, who played Suzanne Summers' cousin on Three's Company, played Patrick Duffy's cousin on Dallas.
There you go. I did know that.
I was a Priscilla Barnes person, but that's another story.
I love Stacey Keenan from Step by Step. She was originally on My Two Dads.
I do too. I know. Oh my God! I was just looking something up
with Greg Evigan, who appears in the next episode coming up.
That's what I was gonna say. He's a creepy burglar. I mean, robber.
Willie
and
Gust.
Giovanni Ribisi was in My Two Dads.
Using a shorter version. Was he like Vonnie
like
at the
Vonnie
time?
Vonnie Ribisi. Yeah. When he became more of a distinguished actor, he went by Giovanni.
And I believe Chad Allen was there, the one who played Tommy Westfall in St. Elsewhere.
Chad Allen, he was also on Our House.
Was on Our House.
With Deirdre Hall and Shannon Doherty.
And in
Look at our TV knowledge just coming out.
Here's Chad Allen's Dallas connection. In the episode where his character was injured and he was in the thing,
Patrick Duffy plays his dad. His, like, dead dad's ghosts come back to him. 100%. Because that was when Bobby was dead in Dallas. No, and because he was on that. And then he was also on Alice in Wonderland TV movie.
Strong Medicine. And Strong
I
Medicine.
Love that TV movie. Mm-hmm.
Who was in Strong Medicine? I think it was Pamela Sue Martin.
Pamela Sue Martin. Is she from?
Wedding.
Oh, yeah. Double Wedding. Never mind. 80s TV trivia.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
We got off on a tangent there. It's Six Degrees of Patrick Duffy, basically.
This episode, I don't know where to go with this episode. First, the whole idea of the Ewings and religion and church. It was like...
Religion and church? Right. Yeah,
with the reverend and the whole boys thing. And we're going to be pillars of the community and reciting scripture. And I'm going...
Yeah.
Scripture. Right. Okay. But the whole thing revolved around trying to... It seemed like it was too many coincidences had to fall into place to, like, this whole annulment paper.
Yeah.
To have disappeared from everywhere.
He had to know the guy working at the office, at the veterans office.
Yeah.
He had to go on the assumption that Digger was going to bring him back to the house and go in and get drunk and show him pictures and pull out those papers.
Mm-hmm.
There were just too many.
There's a lot of groundwork to do that.
It was too many coincidences. And at first you think it's going to be like this episode where it's going to be like, oh, this whole plot line revolves around Digger being drunk and careless and sloppy, mm-hmm. but he's really trying to prove himself, which is what I had as a good point to his daughter, even though he doesn't like Bobby. And it's the first time we see Cliff and Bobby working together.
And you just see how much he actually really cares about Pam. Like, he keeps all that stuff.
And for a last episode for David Wayne to go out, that was good. Yeah. I loved all of his scenes. He just, especially going back to the other episode when he drove up to South Fork and he knocked everything over and he threw out the puzzles.
He was great. I think this episode is kind of like a yin yang episode with old acquaintance because it's showing. Because before, with old acquaintance, like, Bobby has a past, and this is his other woman, and then this is showing, like, Pam has a past, and then this is how it's going to cause some friction for Bobby and Pam also, in a similar but different way, so.
Which, I'm not going to spoil anything, but when you watch this, and you see how upset he gets, like, why didn't you tell me, and then he sticks up for her and says, like, he already knew, but he didn't, mm-hmm. but then you... go forward a couple episodes to... No, wait. We already passed Jenna Wade, right?
Yeah.
We just passed her.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Sorry. So she was pissed about that. And he was like, it's no big deal, you know, blah, blah. But then now this happens and he fucking flips out. But it's 100%. The same thing.
And it's like, Bobby...
It's always double standards.
I know.
Their relationship is built on double standards here, yes.
You know.
Right.
My very first comment I have on my paper is, The creepy man at Aunt Maggie's, which now we know who he is. But he's like Aunt Maggie's, then he's at the bar, and then he's at Ewing Oil. Like, you know, you find out who he is, but it's just weird.
While Bobby and Pam are having that argument, by the way, and like Bobby's getting undressed, he's like angrily at the closet getting undressed. Bobby has an oiled up chest, you guys. He has a shiny oiled up chest. He does.
That's the same oil that Lucy used and they used on Jock.
I think so.
And
he oiled up his shirt before he took it off. Everybody. He takes it off and it's all oily and
Why isn't the shirt covered in oil stains? Why doesn't the shirt have oil stains on them?
What are we doing, Dallas? Come on.
It shows up better in the light.
I guess so. Shows off those pecs. Oh my god.
But what this episode and the last episode, it goes to the whole misinterpreting, like, which person, like, when Rita calls up asking for Mrs. Ewing, where do you want the baby born? It's mistaking the Ewing. And then in this one, Ed Haynes goes into the office and he's mistaking JR for Bobby. And it's like the Mrs. Ewing and JR's thinking, oh, Sue Ellen. And it's like, there's a lot of that going on in those two episodes.
So let's
let's
use some first names for one, you know.
Yeah.
Pam Ewing, whatever. Or, I don't know. keep your original last name? I don't know, whatever. There's a lot of Miss Ewing issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And I like when he is in the office and he goes, it's about your wife and her past. And JR goes, Mrs. Ewing doesn't have a past. Like Sue Ellen has no past.
I bet she does. Nobody knows, but I bet she does. God. I have that written down too. And I think
the Ewing's in church.
Well,
right. The Ewing's
don't. I have that written down, but then I have, okay. So these annulment papers that she says that she has, they go all over town. So they're not at the courthouse because that guy is working for Faraday and he has them hidden until... So
they are at the courthouse. He's just on his, like, terrible computer saying, like, no, I don't see him.
No, at the end he said he made a copy of them for himself. So,
see, that would make me believe that guy knows how to work a computer, which I 100% don't believe.
Which a computer back then should have been the size of an entire room because were the 70s.
Okay, trivia. I don't know this. I'm going to ask y'all. What did that guy play on?
I looked this up because I recognize him. He's in the Twilight Zone movie. Something. No, the Twilight Zone movie.
Yeah, but something else. He was Charles like a
Hallahan?
Sitcom.
Yeah,
he was
Charles
in a sitcom,
Hallahan.
Like Alf or something.
Grace Under Fire.
I don't know that, but he was in the Twilight Zone movie where he played a really bigoted guy with, and it's in the the section where the people get killed in real life in the Twilight Zone movie.
Well, it says here Charles Hallahan who played, it was Harry Ritland.
Yeah.
He was in The Paper Chase, Hunter, and Grace Under Fire.
Hunter, that's what he is. He was a Sergeant Hunter. That's it.
Oh, he was in Hunter.
I just couldn't remember, and I knew, I used to love Hunter as a child. Like, I'm a big cop person.
I loved Hunter, too.
Oh, my God.
Love I don't think I've watched too? That.
Yes.
I haven't
My
watched Hunter
the Better Scout.
Since like 1988. It's been a long time.
Oh, me either, is that all?
Can we rewatch that? I don't know. That and Remington Steel. Like, I loved those.
Oh my God. But
that
Hunter
was like
with
Saturday
that, like, green,
nights.
Like, what was that? Like green, like Nova or something? What was that car he drove?
I don't know.
It was like a Nova. Yeah. Or like a super sport.
I was just trying to see which celebrity of the week was turning up on the Love Boat and Fantasy Island at the time.
I watched those as well.
I never watched those.
You didn't?
I was
I
a
totally
complete.
Did.
No, I was a Dallas, Knott's Landing, Hunter, Dukes of Hazzard.
The Love Boat, and I think that the Love Boat and like those that were on Saturday nights. Because Dallas was on Friday, and like Love Boat and Remington Steel and Hunter and stuff, that was all Saturday.
Well, Dallas went Sunday, Friday.
Yeah, but I started watching it in 1983, so it was always Friday for me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was always Friday, yeah.
It was always Friday for me. Right after the Dukes of Hazzard.
I love it. Soul Train.
And the Incredible Hulk.
No, Solid Gold. Solid Gold.
Right, Solid Gold. Soul Train was when cartoons ended at noon on Saturday mornings.
Yes, but I love Solid Gold. I used to tell my grandfather, this is so sad, that I was going to be a go-go dancer when I got older.
with Victoria's principal's ex-boyfriend, Andy Gibb, one of the hosts.
Yes, and I love Andy Gibb. I'm so sorry he died because I love him. Like, I love him.
Rex Smith. All right, what? This thing had me cracking up. Did anyone notice Lucy's line about picking up boys at the Wayward School for Boys at the breakfast table?
No!
And Miss Ellie's like, Lucy!
The School for Wayward Boys is very important. We've raised a considerable amount of money.
Sue Ellen?
What, Lucy?
Can I visit?
Visit what?
The School for the Wayward Boys.
Lucy!
What the hell was she wearing on the porch with the white dress and the friggin' pigtails there with the little ribbons coming out of her hair? Like she was ready to go to church. Because she was ready to go to church because the Ewings were all about church in this episode.
Right. All about church.
And reciting scripture.
Yeah, there's no way that Bobby knows any scripture at all. No. He looked that up beforehand. And this is the episode where everybody comments on Cliff being hot. Everybody's like, ooh. Like Lucy coming
Cliff
in, like, oh, you're Pam's brother? Oh, all right.
Hey, look, I will say that he in the early days was very, I love older men anyway, but he looked very sophisticated.
I bet that older men, I bet he's like our age if we looked at his age.
I know.
He had a very Kennedy-esque
quality
going.
He did. That's the thing. And I think that's why they pulled that. Like, they knew, like, when he was talking about, like, running his canvases, and, like, he was like, I was like, oh my God, I love it.
Like, because he's smart and he's super funny. Like, his jokes, mostly in this episode, where he's like, he's there to help and he's cool and collected and he, like, makes jokes all the way. Like, he's just, that was actually my great for the episode, was this Cliff being super funny and super smart. And,
me too. I had as my great, and I had Slash, Bobby and Cliff's, like, connection. That's what I had.
My great was Pam flipping the tables on Ed, saying that they kicked her out, they gave her no money, and she was going to run away with him. And you could see the light going off in his head, like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Go away. I'm done.
Abort.
Right. In the park, when she's like leaning against the tree and she's like,
hey,
you know,
I'm going to go with you.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll come to you tonight. Yeah.
She called
and
his
I was
bluff.
Like, bitch, you ain't going nowhere.
And then she didn't even like, she just played it cool. She's all like, yeah, Bobby and everybody. Yeah, you did it. It wasn't me. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like when they left Digger in JR's office, when they were Bobby and Cliff were leaving to go get the papers, and they and they just like, here, we'll put you in JR's office. And then JR at the end of the episode is like, what the hell was Digger Barnes doing sleeping on the couch in my office?
Yeah, that was so good.
Okay, let me tell you this.
I think they should have had a scene between the two of them. They could have tossed a few drinks back.
They 100% should have, yes.
I literally made a comment on my notes. I don't remember what this is now. Now I have to go look. I said, Sue Ellen's necklace at dinner. Did anybody see it?
I don't know, but I'll go back.
I don't know why. I don't know.
No,
okay, but the very next thing I said was sappy, jokey ending at the end at the dinner table, because that never happens in Dallas. And this episode was, like you said, it was very like, and it ended. And I was like, it was like a sitcom. It was like everything was resolved at the end. It was a sitcom, and that never happens. This is one of the only episodes that happens.
It's their Full House episode. They're all going to hug it out at the end of the episode.
It is. And that's exactly what I said. It is like a staff.
Oh, my Lanta.
Yeah, because that's not Dallas. Like, everything, no, I love this episode. But that ending, that never happens again. And if it does, it's like one time in the next 12 seasons. Like, it never happens.
Right.
And I was like, it was like everything was resolved, and it wasn't.
Yeah. Did you watch this on Amazon Prime?
Mm-hmm.
I watched it on my DVD.
What is up with the audio in that episode? It sounded like they did a lot of overdubbing in that episode because the audio was terrible.
No, they did do a lot of overdubbing.
They did do sometimes. They did.
Yeah.
They did.
Much looping.
Was it because of the wind? Because there was a lot of wind in that episode when they were on the
South Fork Coast. They did a lot of outside filming. I think it was that.
Well, I have the DVDs, but I was like, well, it's free on Amazon Prime, so I'm just going to watch it. So that's what I do. I watch like 3 or 4 episodes at a time, and then I just make notes as I go. But
these are my chicken scratch.
I'm so sorry. I'm a little drunk.
No, that's good.
Mary's like, I can tell.
No, it's good.
I'm like, I'm usually not.
I'm on my second beer. It's good.
Well, this is the first time in 7 months that Scott and I have been apart. So I'm like,
and it's a Friday night.
It makes me nervous.
Oh.
I know, he's already at the concert. It's a two. We follow this band. We follow this band. Y'all probably have never heard. It's a Southern band. It's called
Widespread
Panic.
Maybe our listeners would be turned on to it.
Widespread Panic.
I've heard that name, yes.
Okay. So, and they're really good. They are. They're very good. But, like, he has been following them for years. And so this kind of came to me, like, about 4 years ago. And so we've been to New Orleans, Las Vegas. We followed them around. But, like, this weekend was, like, a two-night show. And I was like, you just go Friday with the guy friends. And I'll come down Saturday morning. So now I'm going to be fucking hungover. But
you need to do your trick with 11. Like the raw egg and the Tabasco sauce thing that you told me about.
That's exactly what I was thinking. And it worked. I swear. It's so gross. But I swear it worked. I swear. My dad swears by it.
And what's their style of music?
Like country? They're considered like a jam band. They do. Oh. They have original. Like, they have like thousands of original songs. But they do some covers. They do like old covers, like good songs, like Al Green and shit. Like, they do like really good stuff. And so we follow them everywhere. And that's really sad. But Scott has been following them for about probably 13 years. And so I kind of took
He's
it over whenever. Oh, he is. We have like our whole den, kitchen, hallway, dining room is all framed like concert like posters. Like that's what our thing is. Yeah.
We'll take a tour someday. You can bring the camera around.
Oh, I'll be like,
yeah.
It really is cool because my ex-husband was not like that. He was very like army police, like straight lace. And so God is more me. I mean, it is. We were both, we loved it. We love concerts and we love to drink and we're good now.
Yay.
I had a local person here. They were in this ice cream festival, but they're from Concord, Mass. And they're like, 20, 21 now, somewhere thereabouts, and they're down in Nashville going to school, and they have been recording music and stuff, and they're doing like very, you know, country style. So it's nice when you know the person, and then you can go see them, and then you can kind of watch their career take off.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
And before I forget, this is like a little side note. You can put it on air or not, but we have not set our date yet. It will not be like in the next 2 months or anything, but like we have not, we'll set the date next week, but we're going to do like a courthouse wedding here with my dad. My dad's been sick. So we're going to have it here with my dad and my stepmom and all that. And then we're going to have our like fake wedding in New Orleans. And both of y'all are invited. I've already put y'all on the list and I've put your husband on the list too. So if you can find a babysitter.
Yeah. Right.
So y'all can fly down or come down.
I have never been down there.
Let me know. What? I've been in New Orleans once, it is the drunkest I have ever been for an extended period of time.
Me too.
And it's something in, like, the air, because there's so much humidity, I didn't get hungover ever. And I was just kind of, like, constantly drunk for, like, 4 days.
Yeah, this is going to get me in trouble, but when my parents, a long time ago, they went to the Super Bowl down there in 1986. And they went with my father's guy that worked for my father, and his brother went with my parents, and his brother is married to Michelle Pfeiffer now. It's David Kelly. And they spent the whole weekend getting wasted and throwing up in the back of taxi cabs. I don't want this to get back to David in any way, shape, or form, but
okay. I don't know what year it was. It was like 90-something, and Alabama, that was like their first like Sugar Bowl in forever. And that's it, in New Orleans. And my dad, my stepmom went down, and my dad got, this is when he was still drunk. He doesn't drink anymore. But he got wasted, and he was in this karaoke bar, and they were all up there. My dad had this tie on, and all the Alabama players were in there, and they all signed his tie, and he has it still. And I was like, oh, God, that's my dad. That's my dad. But,
is it David Patrick Kelly? Or is that a different David Kelly?
No. No, this is David E. Kelly, the one who did Ally McBeal. Boston Legal.
Okay, I don't know that. Right. I don't know who that is.
Practice. Chicago picket fences.
Yeah, and Aaron will tell you that we went, you know, 18 was the drinking age in New Orleans forever.
Oh,
and
really?
Then they changed it because the government said, we'll keep it 18, but you're not getting government funding for roads. And so literally the year before Aaron and I graduated, they were like, we're switching it to 21. So Aaron and her sister and I and our friend Jason all went to New Orleans. We got wasted. I was like 19 years old. Wasted. And Erin will tell you to this day, I looked at her and I said, I'm about to puke. And so we went to the bathroom and I was like, push it through everybody. I got in there and this girl, because I was like, move. And I got in there and I go, bleh. And I mean, hurricane, the drink hurricane, it shot up onto the walls, onto the ceiling. And then I come out and she's like, are you okay? And I was like, let's go. And I kept on. And she was like, I knew right then that you were my shit. Like, I knew right then that you could drink. Because I was fine. I just had to get that sugar.
That's what happened with
the sugar.
That's what happened with David, his brother, and my parents in the back of a taxi cab. Throwing up all over the... David Patrick Kelly, this is the one from Twin Peaks, right?
Yeah, that's why I was like, David Patrick Kelly.
And he is actually lives in New York and is very good friends with... someone I know from this area and their daughter, who sends him a birthday song every year on his birthday.
Nice.
Can I ask one question about Pam's work schedule? Can she just come and go from the store as she pleases?
And can I ask you what the fuck does Pam do? What is her job?
I don't know, because it never says. Is she like purchasing or sales or counter girl?
Ask Liz Craig, but she leaves with Ed Haynes. Leaves with Ed Haynes, who comes in and goes, oh, I'm your husband. Oh, I haven't seen you in 10 years. I'll take you at your word. Good to see you. How you doing? And then she just turns up at Cliff's campaign headquarters, which is more of the continuing storyline. They're like, all right, let's go to Aunt Maggie's and look for this thing. Pam, aren't you supposed to be at work? Hello? No, right, I'm just going to walk out of work.
You just got a job.
Right. You just got a job.
Just got it.
Literally. If any one of us did that on our first day on the job, we'd be out
fucking fired. Right. Like, you're on a trial period. No matter, like, how good of friends you are with the person who got you the job, you got to, like, be there and do whatever your job is. But, yeah, exactly. I don't know if we're ever told, like, exactly what Pam does. I think she must be, like, a buyer or something. Because later, I feel like she has, like sketches of clothes and stuff. I don't know.
Because then she was going on buying things with Liz Craig and Alex Ward when he came in. Later
so
on.
Maybe she's like a buyer.
Right. That makes
Which
sense.
Which is like what the girl from Legally Blonde, that was her dream job, was to be a buyer. So my favorite line from this, or lines I should say, from this entire episode is, so Cliff comes to South Fork. Jock and Miss, mostly Jock, is freaking out. Why are you here, Barnes? Blah, blah. Which is just also weird that he's overreacting like that. But then Sue Ellen is all like, hey, you have a knack of popping up at the oddest of times. And Cliff says, like a defective toaster?
And I want to know, Jock's sitting at the breakfast table with his recovery, and he's talking about how something tastes like library paste.
Tastes like what?
He's like, what? He's like, his food tastes like library paste because he's not allowed to have salt or all this stuff.
Oh, right. Like, right. Because
I'm like, when did Jock eat library paste? How does he know what the hell that crap tastes
right.
like?
How do you know? He's all he's complaining because his heart situation, he can't have any salt, or he's not supposed to be smoking.
Right. And while we're at it, let's throw Bobby in the pool as much as possible so people can remember the man from Atlantis is swimming in their pool.
Right. And also because Patrick Duffy was pretty fit back in the day.
Unlike with his ponytail on Station 19.
What's Station 19?
The show he was just on a few weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't know he was on a show a few weeks ago. But I love Patrick Duffy's ponytail. Like when we saw him at the 40th reunion with his, like, he's like gray hair and long and it's in the ponytail. Like, I'm a fan.
That's baby ponytail. That's baby ponytail compared to now.
Oh,
if you had
shit.
Seen this episode of this TV show, yeah, that's baby ponytail. This thing needs to apply for like its own area code.
So, okay, what's it called?
Station 19. Yeah, it's a spinoff of Grey's Anatomy. It's on ABC.
Okay. I've never watched
it,
but
Station 19,
now,
I think it is.
I have on demand, so I'm going to look that shit up because I love Patrick Duffy's ponytail. I'm really excited about this. I'm a fan of ponytails and man buns. This is me. I like them. I mean, okay. Call me the odd man out. I like them. Give me all the man buns.
Okay, my son has long hair. It's past his shoulders, and I love it. I love that he is his own person. He, like, pulls it back, and when he works, he has to pull back for work. Mm-hmm. But I told him, I said, can we get it trimmed? And he was like, no. And I was like, just can you pull it back? And he said, now he wears, like, in a man bun. And it's so cute. Like, he's 16. Like, he's cool, and, like, right. He doesn't have a care in the world. Like, I do like that, but like a 50-year-old, I don't know if I like a 50-year-old man bun.
Patrick Duffy is hot with it, though. He is hot with it. I think this is my opinion. I think he's hot with it.
Okay, now I do too, but I will. But it's Patrick Duffy. But I will say, did he not at our 40-year reunion? Did he not have the ponytail?
He did. He did. Totally.
No,
had
no. This
it.
Was
yeah.
that was baby ponytail. And this one has grown into man.
Yeah, I was real confused.
It's man ponytail
like,
now. Wait, it's man size.
Right.
Hold on. And by the way, I ran out of wine, so I'm on vodka now.
Thank you, Sue Ellen.
Sarah, you're going to be hurting tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to piss tomorrow. I got to drive 4 hours tomorrow.
She's Sue Ellen.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she's Sue Ellen.
Drink so much water before you go to bed, please.
Oh, well.
That's what I did last year at a wedding, last fall.
Yeah.
I had the bottle of JR bourbon. And I was up at our camp, and we had the campfire the night before, and someone in the kitchen and I took that whole bottle of bourbon and we did shot for shot. We drank that whole bottle of bourbon in about an hour.
That's what happened.
Shit.
Yeah. And this one girl there, she kept seeing me with the bottle of bourbon. She's like, you've had enough. Let me take it away. And I go, there's still liquid in here, girl. I haven't had enough.
We have a job to do.
But afterwards, I did two of these Nalgene's of water.
Mm-hmm.
And I was eating pretzels the whole time. So I woke up the next morning.
It does help.
Yeah, you're fine. Okay. If you drink one thing and it's good quality, and then you also eat a little bit and drink water, you're going to be totally fine. It's mixing. That's a terrible idea.
I usually don't have hangovers. But you know what they say? They say if you don't have a hangover, then your body is adjusted to your alcoholism. And and I was like, well, then I'm totally fucked.
Oh.
I never have hangovers, ever. And I will say that Scott, well, he says, Sarah, you can have one shot and you're good. You can have two shots and you're funny, Sarah. He's like, you go on that third shot. And he was like, you're a different person. And I was like, okay. And so last Friday, I had five shots. And he was like, go home. Go home right now. And I was like, yes, sir.
See, I like bourbon and I like scotch. I've started becoming this like the snootiest bitch about it. I've started drinking like fancy like Highland scotch.
I only drink two kinds of vodka. That's it. So I get it.
Yeah. Lefroig is my shit right now. I love
it. Wait, what is it?
Lefroig.
Ooh.
It's from Northern Scotland, and it's this really smoky, peaty scotch.
So where can good. You get
and
it?
You can get it most places. But when I went to Scotland last fall, I learned to drink it just straight with just a couple little things of water in it to like open up the flavor, and then just drink it straight. And now. That's my shit. I feel like a 75-year-old man with a fedora.
And which part of Scotland did you travel through?
I went to Inverness. That was my favorite city, is Inverness, Scotland. And then, it's way north. It's the capital of the Highlands, kind of. So I was in the UK for a week and a half, and I had like 4 days, and so I just took a train up as far as I could go I went to Inverness, and then we rented a car, and my friend actually was very brave and drove on the wrong side of the road back down through, and we went to Edinburgh, and then took a train back to London and flew home.
Okay. I've heard stay out of Glasgow and Dundee. Those two are like...
My friend Mark O'Brien lives in Glasgow, so someday I would very much like to visit him. But, I don't know about Dundee, but this past year, actually, I've been taking Scottish Gaelic lessons, so I want to take a few more and then go to Scotland and see if I can apply that at all.
Okay. Could you imagine JR and Bobby running around Scotland with kilts?
No. maybe Bobby.
Please give me Patrick Duffy in a kilt, please.
Yeah. Okay. I think he has
been. I'm going to go back to the episode.
Oh, yeah, the episode.
So JR just latched onto this opportunity to just completely try to drive Bobby and Pam apart when Ed Haynes showed up in his office and he's like,
right.
Oh,
he ding, ding, right
ding, 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 ding.
But
I'm
he's
going
not going to turn down that opportunity.
But he waited until Pam got there.
Right, and then he...
And say it.
And then he threw out the word bigamist.
Right.
Bigamist. What? It was like...
I have that.
I was like, ooh, twisting the knife in there. Bigamist. And this was 1978 so.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear the word bigamist on television a lot back then?
I don't know.
I know you had like...
Probably not.
You know, there were things... You know, there were some controversial things back in the 70s, like when Edith got raped on All in the Family.
Edith got raped?
Yes, yep. I forgot about that. Yes.
Yep.
What?
And then,
holy shit, I didn't remember that.
It's a really
and,
sad
and then, of course, coming up later on, Dallas, we had Lucy's...
We have some things. In this episode, there's a slavery joke.
What?
Did you catch that?
No.
Yeah, there was something
when,
like...
When was it?
I think it was Cliff. There was somebody said, there was something about like, it was Ed Faraday Haynes, who was something like, buying people. He's like, or don't you do that anymore down here? Like, you don't sell people anymore.
I did not catch that at all.
Yeah. I was like, ooh.
And then there there was the whole reference to Vietnam and being in a prison camp and all that stuff and being good to the veterans, you know.
That was that was pretty close. I mean, Vietnam ended in 75, right? So that was a pretty
Well, the war's been over since 75, and it's like, oh, am I watching a war romance drama, or am I watching Dallas? It was just, they didn't really talk about wars on that show a lot, so, if ever.
Just that, and then I think we talked about a little bit of World War II with Jock later on.
Right. But there were a lot of controversial things, you know, in the day that
wouldn't
you know, go over today. Like, did anyone see the a few weeks ago they had the live versions of All in the Family and the Jeffersons?
No, I love that.
I did not watch.
Where Woody Harrelson played Archie, and they redid the entire episode, and they left the script exactly as it was back then. And stuff today versus back then, it's kind of like, ooh, if this wasn't a special thing, they wouldn't get away with that now.
Right. I mean, All in the Family was so groundbreaking at the time because they really were, like, showing all those issues and how, like, old thinking was impacting, like, society in the modern day, and it was really groundbreaking. But I feel like you're gonna have to change some of those scripts to make it for today a little bit, maybe.
Right, and they let those scripts go as they were for this particular redo a couple weeks ago.
Right. I did not watch it, but I heard it was not great.
I went in with very low expectations, and they actually did a better job than I would have expected. I mean, it wasn't like stellar or anything, but when Jamie Foxx actually broke character because he screwed up a line, and then he said, this is life, and people are sitting on the home thinking their TV sets are broken and something like that. And then he, like, everyone's laughing, and they went back into character, but they did a better job than I thought they were going to do, so.
Okay. So far, a lot of these redos of things that I've seen have not been, like, I watched the new Rocky Horror Picture Show thing. I think it was last Halloween.
Yeah.
And I lasted about 10 minutes.
I asked Meatloaf about that when I saw him down in one of those autograph conventions.
Oh, yeah, what do you have to say?
He shook his head and wouldn't even acknowledge it. He's like, no, thank you.
Right.
He says, I'll stick to my blue bloods, he said.
And, like, I appreciate them wanting to have Tim Curry be a part of it, but it just made me sad to see Tim Curry. I don't know. It was just kind of like watching Dick Clark on the countdown the last couple years where you were like, oh shit.
You're just wheeling him out, dusting him off, and, like, the arms are going like this.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
So is there anything more on this episode that...
The only other thing that I think that I haven't mentioned is that it was with this episode that we realized that Pam is younger than Bobby. Because in 1968, 10 years earlier, she would have been underage.
Right, because she was underage when she...
Right, and I think that she's supposed to be like 2 or 3 years younger than Bobby.
Right.
But I don't think they realize that when they say that. She was like, well, I was in Mexico for a cheerleading camp. And, like, I don't even know if they realized what they did.
Right, it was my first
time
away.
So.
Yeah.
Where did Digger and Maggie get the money to send her to cheerleading camp in Mexico when it was all going to his boot?
Well, they weren't even. They
barely had enough money to pay for
Juarez in Texas? Or am I wrong about that? Because I don't know anything about this.
But she crossed over into Mexico and married.
Right, she did. She did cross into Mexico.
They're on the border. I think that.
Yeah, they're on the border, and then she just went into Mexico. She just, like, went off. I think this is Pam's big first, like, going against what she's supposed to do situations. She was rebelling.
Yeah, she even said she was like, "I was young, boy." Yes.
Yeah, it's my first time away from home. And there's a cute boy.
She even said, like, they never let her do.
Never let her do anything.
She obviously couldn't have had Digger pay for cheerleading camp when he couldn't even pay for his own booze.
Exactly.
So.
Well, exactly. At least now, but we don't know about 10 years ago.
Well.
We don't know.
I have to show y'all.
But also maybe.
I know that our listeners cannot see this, but y'all can see this. We've been in this house for probably 6 months, and my mom came about 2 weeks ago, and I had to clean the guest room out for her to spend the night. And so I unpacked all that. This is my vintage TV guide. This is November 15th, 1980. This is JR.
Awesome.
I know. And then I have the August 30th, which is the dream season in plastic.
I have that one as well somewhere.
Okay.
Good morning.
And then the one I have, the Adios, the last one before Dallas went off the air. And this is the one I have everybody sign.
Yes.
I had all the signatures at the 30 year. Although I can't see them. But only I could get.
Oh, you did? I didn't.
Well, the only ones I could get to sign were Phyllis and Steve Canelli. That's it. But I have them. Aww. I have them. So I have those.
That's really cool.
Wait, you didn't get Deborah Tonelli to sign that?
No, and but the funny thing was is that same day, Mary, after we got the table, and I went up to go get us drinks. We're like, save this table, and I'm gonna go get us drinks.
What?
I went to the sidebar, and I met. Oh my God,
Do you mean Danon Simpson, who played Kendall?
No. Yes. No.
Okay.
Yes.
Because Deb Tornelli wasn't there. Yeah.
Yes. No, I met Kendall, but I met at the bar Susan Howard. She was walking through, and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm a super fan. She's like, it's okay, and she was the sweetest thing. She talked to me, and she was I was like, I'm not this crazy person, like, gonna like touch you and shit, like, and she gave me a hug, and she was so sweet. Like, Susan Howard literally is the nicest person ever. Like, she talked to me for like 15 minutes. It was a long time. Like, it was a long time.
I didn't talk to anyone or meet anyone or get anybody's signature at that 30th anniversary at all. At all.
I even have Rex Mon, who owns South Fork. He actually signed it because he showed up at the South Fork Hotel. Where did you stay at the 30th reunion?
30th, I said at the South Fork Inn. Like I said
the South Fork Hotel, yeah, which is no longer there.
Exactly. I know.
All right. Thank you for joining us on the Ewing Barbecue. If you would like to join us on social media, please do so on Facebook. We are the Ewing Barbecue. On Instagram, we are also Ewing BBQ. We are BBQ Ewing on Twitter. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's theewingbbq@gmail.com. Please send us an email, send us a message, join our groups, just join the fun and hang out with us. Whatever podcast catcher you're listening to this on, please shoot us a 5-star review and just write a little something too. If you write something, most of it's positive, we'll totally read it on the air.
5 stars all the way. Just like the hotels, 5 stars.
Awesome. We deserve it. We're so funny. Right.
We totes deserve it, you guys.
Totes.
Completely.
Okay, until next time.
And if you don't give us a 5-star review, I'll send Bum after you.
Oh, God. McSween.
Or Rattigan.
Oh, yeah.
All right, bye.
Good night.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Mr. Ewing, I haven't seen you in church lately. Neither you or your wife.
Let me show you where we plan on putting the chapel.